The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money.
Welcome to Money in Mission. You're on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. This is the second week that we are like just doing an ad hoc open.
I like it. Switch it up sometimes.
That's right. I mean, really, at the end of the day, your money and your stuff either help you get where you feel called to in your heart or it doesn't.
That's right.
Right. I mean, the stuff you have in your money is either a tool or a trap.
I was about to say it can either be used for good or for bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be wasted away on sin and all this stuff that does not matter in the Lord's eyes, or you can put it to good use and help those around you.
Yeah. I like the tool and trap thing. I mean, just boom, trap. Could you hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Joe, you know, that was loud.
Okay. Sometimes it ain't a quick trap like that, though. It's not a snare. Sometimes it's a long, drawn-out spiral into a dark pit.
Until pretty soon one day you wake up and you say, wow, I feel like the numbers are all working, but there's just something missing. And that's where we say you spent your life climbing this ladder, and one day you realize the ladder is propped against the wrong wall.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I used to try not to blame people because I used to think that everyone's just trying to find happiness in this world.
That's right.
Myself included. Yeah. But I heard a quote the other day. It said, in this house, we don't try to find happiness. We try to find our purpose.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And you get those lined up and happiness is there. But, you know, it is so much easier said than done, right?
That's right.
I mean, because there's all this fine print out there and you never quite know what to think. And then the news comes at us, which is something we like to do and we want to do. Like right now.
Yeah, let's get right into it.
Yeah.
I mean, I see a lot of news topics. We got papers everywhere.
Oh, papers everywhere. Joe actually had to take a picture this morning. I mean, what did you say, Joe? You guys actually look like you're doing something? Unbelievable. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, welcome to episode 84.
Yes.
Right. I'm James Good.
And I'm Eric Terrio.
And we'll do some week in review stuff here, and then we'll get to a brain teaser, which is always my favorite part of the show.
That's right.
Yeah. So we said a couple weeks ago that 2025 changed. It felt like everything changed, right? Artificial intelligence changed the way we work. Rate cuts changed how we save. Debt changed how we view the future. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? I mean, the details change around us, but God does not change.
Nor do the fundamental principles that we try to share here on this show.
That is a fact. Mm-hmm. So never lose sight of that in all of the news and all the different things that are happening. King Solomon said once in a book of Ecclesiastes that there is nothing new under the sun.
Mm.
And so there's new news bits out there, but you know, basically a lot of this stuff has already happened.
We're telling the same tale.
Right. Well, so I thought it was a really big deal. You know, the Fed cut rates now three times in a row.
But we kind of knew each time it was coming, right?
They give us, a big runway, right? We're gonna cut rates.
It was more accurate than the local meteorologist.
That's right. But you would expect then that if the Fed cut rates, that then other rates would drop as well, like mortgage rates, right? And bond yields, that sort of makes sense. And
I think people just think across the board that rates should credit card. They just think if they cut rates, then rates all across the board to start falling.
That's right. But, you know, that hasn't happened. The 10-year Treasury rate is actually up from where it was in August, this year. So the 10-year Treasury is hanging almost at 4.2, in spite of the fact that the Fed cut mortgage rates. According to Freddie Mac, right, mortgage rates for 15 and 30-year mortgages have dipped a little bit, but not very much.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you could see this chart, where is that chart?
Right here.
Yeah. That coming out of the month of November, at least, the 15-year seemed to be hanging around 5.5, 15-year mortgage rates, and 30-year mortgages were hanging right around 6.25, which is right in the same range that we were back in like 06 and 07.
Hmm.
So rates spiked up in 2022, and now they dropped back a little bit, but not very much.
Right.
So that's kind of interesting. Anytime you have these divergences out there, we think it's important to pay attention. And the Fed's been cutting, but mortgage rates have not really been coming down.
So rates are still higher.
Rates are still high.
Housing costs are still higher.
Yeah. And that becomes important because in a world where, like, if you go to sell a house,
which I tried to do the past few months.
You tried to do it.
And was unable to successfully.
Because there were no buyers.
Yeah. There just wasn't people that were interested. That's right. At that price point, I would have had to take a large haircut.
Right.
To make it move.
Oh, so there were buyers, but they did not have as much money to spend as you wanted to sell for.
No, they didn't put in offers for my price point.
Right.
Yes. So they were coming to look. So I assume that they were ready to move on something.
Right.
Yeah.
They just didn't want to pay.
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe they weren't able to pay because mortgage rates have not come down. This is the way it works, right? Across the nation. Where was this article? Redfin, I guess. Yeah, Redfin had an article here that talked about how the U.S. housing market right now across the nation has nearly 500,000 more sellers than buyers. So more people are trying to sell their houses than there are buyers that are able and willing to pay. That is the biggest seller to buyer imbalance on record.
And that's turning more people into renters for a longer period of time, which
that's right.
I think is a positive thing. I think ownership and family building is a great thing. So when people are able to get into homes, I think a lot more better things happen.
That's right.
Yeah. And they're building up an asset for themselves to pass on and so on.
And if an economy is just a series of transactions, right? If people aren't buying houses, then they don't have there's not as many things that they would spend money on related to that, and one triggers the other, and the domino effect goes on.
And I also read an article before that home ownership is positive because it creates more activity in the economy, because people are buying things for their homes. They're more often
to
decorate and change the paint. So Home Depot's activity goes up from DIY projects.
That's right. Where if you're a landlord, you're probably not going to do a DIY project.
No, you're just going to make it ready for the next tenant.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently in 31 out of the top 50 metro areas around the country, there are buyer's markets. Miami, apparently, there's the imbalance, like 3-1. There are three times as many sellers as there are buyers.
Well, Joe said that my house should have been up in Dillsburg. And it would have sold within a week.
That's right.
He said houses are moving up there. So I guess it really does depend where you are, because I'm sure local economic fact, maybe, you know, a large company moved in. They're doing a lot of hiring. You know, there are reasons why you can find little pockets. But
there are pockets.
Obviously across the board.
Across the board. That's right. And, you know, real estate is like that. It's very pocket driven.
Yeah, if Amazon moves into a city, I'm sure houses are going to start selling.
That's
people
exactly
moving
that.
In.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's, you know, joyful news here as we as we reflect on where we are in the year. Do you ever hear of the Baker Hughes rig count?
Not until this morning. That's right.
So
I thought we were talking about shipping.
Shipping.
Yeah, I thought these were big rigs. My grandparents used to own a trucking company, so when I heard rig, that's what rang a bell.
Oh, my dad back in the day, he had a little trucking business as well.
Yeah.
But no, the rigs, Baker Hughes is an energy company, and so they keep track of the number of oil rigs that are drilling for oil. And so it kind of makes sense. You know, if you have a lot of oil rigs out there, then there's a lot of supply in the oil pipeline, no pun intended. You see what happened there?
Yes, there was.
That just kind of happened, right? I didn't actually practice that. So, but if you have a lot of supply, then it's normal and natural where prices can come down.
That's right.
And if you don't have very much supply, then you sort of set the stage for prices maybe to go up. So, you know, one would think that if there are more rigs, more places where people are drilling for oil, there would be more oil available. The supply would be up.
So, and you're saying that we're down substantially,
we're
down, right?
We're down, yeah.
Over the years.
That's right.
Not just the past year, but the past decade or so.
Yeah, so Baker Hughes, the Baker Hughes rig count was at, thank you. You're right. I'm like sitting here sifting through this pile of
too
paper.
Too much news
that's
today.
Right. That's right. So, yeah, and as of December 12th, apparently the rig count here in the United States was 548.
So 548 drilling rigs around
drilling
the U.S.
Rigs, that's right. Mm-hmm. Just 41 drilling rigs less than the same time last year.
Yeah.
41 less. Well, somebody said to me earlier today, he said, what's the long-term chart, right? Because, yeah, maybe there's fewer than there were last year, but we could still be in this upward trend. So that took a little bit of digging, but according to the American Oil and Gas Reporter, at the beginning of 2016, this is like 10 years ago, now there were 1,750 active rigs here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Today there's 548.
Well, I knew the political landscape for a while is that we were kind of going green and shying away and mm-hmm. going more electric.
That's
but
right.
You made a good point earlier. I thought the current administration is supposed to be drill, baby, drill.
Drill, baby, drill.
That's doesn't right. seem like that's the case.
Doesn't look that way right now, anyway.
But these things do take a while to get up and running.
They do.
That's doesn't true. Explain why they're all shutting down either, I guess.
And really, if oil prices are down, then there's not much of an incentive for
that's right.
oil producers to actually be spending a lot of money.
Trying to be made.
That's right.
And I heard one time that we don't stop drilling for oil when we run out. We'll stop drilling when it's not profitable.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it might be where we are. That might be where we are right now. Well, stay tuned on that. It's an interesting statistic, an interesting story, and we want to keep tracking that as well.
Yeah, lots of news today. Well, that's all the time we have in our weekly review segment. We're going to take a quick break and hear from some of our supporters. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
We're so pleased to have back Nick Mucci, Greg Platzer, and Joe Trozak. And, you know, if this was only television, like we could see you guys going, hi, everybody, right?
Tons of fun.
That's right. But, you know,
for radio.
Absolutely. But, you know, but you guys have this common interest, right, in homelessness. And
it's a mission. It's not an interest.
It's a mission.
It's absolutely a mission.
It's absolutely a mission. And we, you know, we talk about that here, money in mission, right? The understand our mission, of course, but we have to know how the money works as well. And we try to encourage our listeners all the time to say that there is so much more to money than just like saving up as much as we possibly can so we can have fun for the rest of our lives, right? Let's right. make that money work in the form of a mission.
That's right.
That's right. And nothing quite like homelessness, right? Because what's the, I mean, well, let's, before we dive in, Greg,
sir,
just talk a little bit. You're a musician.
I'm guilty of that offense.
I mean, I love your music.
Thank you so much. That means a lot. Thank
yeah.
you. As hearing that from another musician is nice. I don't know if people realize this, but Mr. Good is also a terrific musician.
Thank you so much. And I mean, we don't play the same style of music, but I love watching. I love your shows. I really
your
do.
Your stuff is very heavy compared to my stuff. My stuff's very light and yeah. whimsical, and your music is,
wow.
I mean, heavy.
I don't know that Greg and whimsical or something okay. I ever would have said, yeah. but yeah.
And so anyway, so you're a musician, right? And
yes,
Nick,
sir.
And Nick, you are with Christian Churches.
Christian Churches United, yeah. I've worked in ministry and as a pastor my entire adult life.
Right, yeah. And so you kind of bring a little bit of a professional angle to the homeless initiative.
Yeah, right? I think that's kind of my part is to make sure that Greg is kind of, you know,
restrained.
You know,
restrained.
Under
that's right. That's right. Yeah. But Joe, you do recording as well.
Yes.
Right. And I mean, in fact, I think the first time I met you,
we were actually recording
a track for the Joy to the Berg project. Which
I think
we'll
you
be
came in the
about.
First couple years
mm-hmm.
with your family.
That's
and
right.
Really nice recordings too.
One and two. That's right. That's right. And then we started carting all over the country, mm-hmm. you know, playing country gospel music, and people disowned us or something.
No, right? They appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd be surprised.
That's right. But so together, I mean, you're like this homelessness thing is a really big deal, right? And
especially to the people that don't have any sense of control. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. we can talk about homelessness, and a lot of people just kind of let that go past them because their version of homelessness is what they see on media. Right. But as somebody who has been, I hate to use the word unhoused, I think that's really, really, political correctness is mm-hmm. really not my thing, but to not have a place for me to sleep at night.
Consistent, stable.
Right. Mm-hmm. It was during the day, you're wondering what the night's going to be like. And it's dark. And it is, especially when you have people that may have had successful lives and for one reason or another, mm-hmm. An economic downturn or, chemical abuse, whatever, they find themselves on the street with children, with sick family members. And these people need our help. And if we have the ability to help them, it's our responsibility and our duty to help them.
Yeah.
And it's right here in our backyard, right here in Harrisburg.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It is. And I think what Greg said is important. There are so many different things that contribute to people experiencing homelessness. We had a woman with four children that we were working with recently, and her family ended up living in the car, living in hotels, bouncing around, not because of any choices other than her job ended. She was working and the job ended. Mm-hmm. And now she doesn't have any money coming in. And she and her kids found themselves in a situation where they didn't have a place to live. And these kids are trying to go to school without good sleep, without good food and everything that they need. And so it is a challenge that is unique to the individual, unique to the different people that experience it. Their stories are all different. And there's all kinds of things that lead people to being at that place in their lives. But I think too, when you go back to the whole like money on mission, our job, our call as fellow human beings, we're called to care for our neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
We're called
That's right.
to love them and to do what we can to uplift and to help people no matter what caused them to be in the situation they're in.
That's right.
Let's see how we can help them out.
That's right. Yeah, and the homeless, being homeless, I mean, clearly it not just impacts the individual, but families, right? I mean, whole family systems, neighborhoods.
Yep.
And so the impact, this ripple effect, right? And it's kind of like, you know, I mean, Greg, you're playing a scale, a pentatonic scale, which nobody probably knows what it is except me and you. But
it's a five-note scale.
Yeah, it's a five-note scale. But, you know, when you do that in the right context, wow, it makes a huge difference, right? And
absolutely.
And homelessness is like playing a very bad scale at the wrong time.
Or being unable to play
a scale. Or being unable to play a scale. Yeah, that's
wishing
exactly right.
Could, yeah.
I think there's a stigma to homelessness. The majority of people that I speak to when I talk about this charity and I'll say about the homeless, and I can see it on a lot of people's faces that there's kind of a scowl. Because the concept of somebody homeless is somebody that is drug-addled, that does not want to do well. Mm-hmm. And I would say that in many cases, the homeless are people that are there not of their own doing.
Mm.
And it would be really interesting if I could take some of these people that feel that they are superior and do the 48 hours thing and swap them with a homeless person so they could see. We, on Giving Day, we do a motorcycle ride, and we ride around and we go to shelters and stuff like that, except for Nick, who rides in a car with heat.
I roll my windows down.
And man, it was so cold last year that...
It was like 8 degrees.
Yeah,
it was
Nick had the biggest grin on his face in his warm car.
His warm car.
But anyway, when you... what really got to me was we were at the homeless shelter on Cameron, and we're standing there looking around at the beds, and... everybody has all of their possessions in little plastic bins by the bed. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, my goodness, you could pick up somebody's whole existence and walk away with it and leave them completely bereft. And that really hit me. You know, I'd never had to spend the night in a homeless shelter or anything like that, but it's eye-opening. And I recommend that people pay attention to the Joy to the Berg Media on what is Giving Tuesday?
Giving Tuesday, December 2nd.
Yeah, the first Tuesday in December. And we're going to be doing the ride again, and we're going to go around and we're going to show you firsthand what these places are like. And
do you want to announce that date again? And
December 2nd.
December 2nd.
December 2nd. Yeah.
We'll make sure to highlight that a couple more times before we wrap up here today.
Sure. Yeah. And let people see the people we're doing this for. We're not doing this for a concept. We're doing this for human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. Yeah. So there are 400 homeless people in Harrisburg.
At least.
And at least. I mean, that's kind of a stat, right?
Yeah, and that's based on what you can count, right? Because there's the interesting thing about when it comes to the feds have their own definition of homelessness, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm.
They say even 30% live in poverty.
Right. And yes, absolutely. And that's where the challenge is sometimes the people that don't get counted are those who are couch surfing. And so folks that are staying with friends, we might not know about them. Couch surfing. And so they're with a friend for 2 weeks, and they're with another friend for 2 weeks. And, mm-hmm. and so while
like
they're...
They
don't know where they're going to go next. And they don't know how long with where they are, how long they're going to be allowed to stay there either. And so often that number that we see is often smaller than actuality because we don't know. We don't have all of that information.
Yeah. And wow, how do you get an education? You know, if you're like, you don't know where sleep is going to be tonight.
Right.
Can't focus on anything.
Yeah. Well, speaking of education, I was asked to speak at SciTech in Harrisburg. Mm-hmm. And then one of the advisors said, I just realized if some of these kids are falling asleep or whatever, they may have slept on the porch.
Yeah.
We don't know exactly what's going on.
Right.
One of their parents could have been into a fight or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to just roll and just try to lift them where they're at and then, you know, make their lives better.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like a world next door to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy for us to live our lives and not even see, right, what's happening there. But, you know, but you guys kind of all
easy
got
to turn away.
That's
which
right.
Which is what most people choose to do.
That's right. But, you know, we're going to be talking about this, that, you know, you guys are involved in a significant effort to do something about it, right? And you know, the exciting news really is that when everybody kind of collectively does a little bit together, then big things can happen, right? And I'm so excited about what we're going to be talking about here today as we go through the rest of the podcast. But Nick, Joe, Greg, thanks for being with us today.
It's time for the Weekly Puzzler.
It's time for my favorite part of the show.
What could that possibly be?
Weekly Puzzler. Oh, my goodness. Last week's puzzle. Did we actually do this? Was this actually last week's?
Yes, it was.
There are two mothers and two daughters at a family dinner, but there were only three people present. Two mothers and two daughters at a family dinner, but still there are only three people present. How is that possible?
How is that even possible?
Well, apparently the three people are a grandmother, her daughter, and her granddaughter. So the daughter is both a daughter and a mother.
So she is the two daughters. The mother and a daughter, mother.
I think this week's is a groaner too.
Really?
I do.
Well, let's see what people think. Email us and let us know.
Yeah.
But this week's puzzle is, Joe, pay attention. A truck driver is going the wrong way down a one-way street, and he passes at least 10 police officers, yet none of them stop him. Why? There's a truck driver driving the wrong way down a one-way street.
He's going the wrong way.
Passes 10 police officers, and none of them stop him.
Why? If you think you know the answer, send your answer to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and we will read the correct answer on the podcast next week.
And we'll be back after this break. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Holy Family Radio is your Catholic voice in central Pennsylvania, but as a listener-supported radio station, we need your help, not only during our annual pledge drives and speaker series, but throughout the year. Please prayerfully consider a donation of any amount to AM 720. Giving is easy. Visit our website, 720whyf.com, and click the donate page and follow the instructions. And thank you for whatever you can give to Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
And I'm Eric Terrier.
And we are visiting today with three very special guys, Nick Mucci, Greg Platzer, and Joe Trozak. And we've been talking about homelessness, but not just about homelessness, but what you guys are doing about it.
More importantly,
right. Now, we had you on the podcast last year, and but we were talking about a project called Joy to the Berg. So talk about Joy to the Berg. What's it all about?
Well, Joy to the Berg started out of an idle conversation. A very good man by the name of Sheldon Jones was in my guitar shop. He was a student of my guitar shop. And he told me one day, he said, I've made a good amount of money. I'd like to do something with it. Is there some sort of charity that we could do that would make some good for some people? And we started talking about the idea, and we developed the idea that having local musicians record original music and traditional music, and then we would sell the recordings and use that money to help local homeless. And from there, it has grown and grown and grown. It was every good idea will flourish, and that was an amazing idea. And what it did was it tapped into the family aspect of the local music scene, because we support each other as musicians, and it I've seen firsthand the benefits of what we've been able to do with this money. And we it got too big too fast. So we brought in Christian Churches United, and we inherited through that our brother Nick Mucci, who can tell you about the grown-up stuff.
The grown-up stuff. Yeah, man, I think one of the coolest things about this project is when you think about the number of artists, the number of studios, the number of people who are part working. Mm-hmm. We're talking about 100 people every year who contribute to this project in some form. We've had over 70 artists, whether it's bands, individual groups, whatever, who have participated in the album over the last 7 years to really offer the gift of music for those who are homeless.
Yeah,
you know, I had a chance to talk with some artists about 2 years ago, and one of the things that I love is I believe that part of who we are as people made in the image of God, as God is creator, we're called to be creative, and we're called to bring beauty into the world. And I think that artists and musicians get that better than most of us, right? So many of them, whether they're playing on stage or playing in their own living room, they're offering this gift to anyone who would hear.
Right.
And so to take that gift and turn around and use it to provide for others, to care for others,
right,
is such a beautiful thing. And we're so fortunate at Christian Churches United to be the recipients of helping make sure that our different shelters are funded the way they need funded. Mm-hmm. Our outreach team, who are out there trying to help people get housed and get off the streets, we're able to keep them active because of the gift of these artists.
Mm-hmm. So these musicians all got together and started recording. stuff. And this was, what, 5 years ago? When was the first?
This is actually the seventh album. The first one was 2019. Was the first album. Yeah.
Right. And that was... That was over at the Harrisburg Area Community College.
Yeah, the first time
performing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I remember that actually. I thought that was so cool that I mean, the place was full of people who wanted to come out and hear this.
At first.
Yeah.
As soon as the band started playing, and it
as soon as
Christmas
the band started playing. Yeah.
we had some Aunt Grady's walking out. This isn't all Christmas music.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we got your donation. Thank you.
Yeah. That's right.
But that's about the time when I stopped because I'm a professor, and they said, "Oh, they're looking for a studio to do some things."
Right.
Sheldon hooked me up. We recorded a lot of different artists over the years. Canaan Land's been in every year, just about. And then it's just neat to see it all come together. Mm-hmm. All the way people like take a Christmas piece, change it around. You know, do something different, come up with a Christmas theme, make something interesting with it.
Right.
And every year it's just a neat little collection and people just really enjoying it. It's one of the highlights of Advent getting ready for Christmas is Joy to the Burg.
Right. But the basic idea then is that I can buy a cassette tape, right?
You can buy a CD.
A CD.
I don't know. Anybody plays cassette tape? What's a cassette
tape?
Anybody know what a cassette tape is?
Somebody's old.
Okay, I just dated myself.
I can get something for my player piano.
you can buy the CD. You can buy the digital downloads.
Yeah. So there's digital downloads.
Oh, yes, sir.
Right. But the basic idea is, you know, I buy this and I get to hear, as a consumer, I get to hear this collection of eccentric Christmas music. Hopefully not eccentric.
There is some eccentric. And it's fun though, right? Because you have all of these different styles on it. And the really cool thing about this is too, is because there are other corporate sponsors and corporate participants in the project. When you buy that album, every dollar you spend on the album goes to the work. Right. None of it goes to the production of the album. None of it goes to the concert. None of it goes it goes to the work.
Right, because it's fully underwritten. Yeah. By businesses that say,
getting their time, studio time, producing time, not just the musical artists themselves.
Right, you got studios that are offering their time and space for these albums, and I don't see a bill. Like nobody's reaching out to the charity and saying, "Hey, they recorded here. Can you take care of this for us?" Mm-hmm. And it's such a beautiful thing because it's not just one person.
Right,
it's all of us.
Right,
and any work trying to come alongside something like homelessness, it's going to take all of us doing the work together. And I think Joy to the Burg is such a beautiful picture of that.
That's right, yeah. So, but I guess the important thing to me is that by the time this product gets to a place where, as a consumer, I buy it, there's already people that are really vested.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
In this.
No question.
A lot of work going on behind the scenes and a lot of people saying, hey, I'm in for that, right? I really want this to happen.
I've been on every album as a member of Grumpy Old Men. Last year I did a song with the band I was in, Groove Rebels. And then there have been a couple songs that this year I'm doing it solo. And a couple years back I did it solo. And the beautiful thing is that song went nationwide and ended up in a national movie, A Gettysburg Christmas, which is going to be on, I think, Hallmark Channel or one of those.
Sounds like a Hallmark.
It is.
And when I start actually making money off of that, after I had to set up a production company just so they could pay me. And it cost me so much money to set up the production company, it's going to be years before I actually make anything.
Right,
but once I do, that'll be funneled into the charity.
Okay.
So, we're reaching into the far corners of the world with what we're doing. And the beautiful thing is every good intention has momentum. Mm-hmm. And we are seeing people that we wouldn't think to involve reaching out to us because they see how hard the musicians are working. They see how hard the studios are working.
Right.
I mean, Nick here, he's lost 216 pounds in the last year with all the work that he's been doing.
I didn't want to say that. But
I'm glad you noticed.
He's wasting away. He's wasting away. He still has 400 pounds to go, but he's doing really well.
I'm working.
But what's going on here is the joy of Joy to the Burg is spreading, and it's absolutely wonderful. And I've firsthand spent some time at the homeless shelters with some of these people, and they're just so appreciative.
Right.
And when one person says thank you for all that you've done to us as an organization, not just to me, but to everybody, when one person says, I'm better off as a result of you doing that, it's amazing how that feels.
That's right.
And you're going to have to kill me to get me off this project.
Yeah. So how much, you know, like, how much does a CD sell for, or a download, or...
Yeah, it's $20.
$20.
It's $20 for the album. If you go to Carnes, it's usually $12 at the Carnes to get the physical album. But it's a suggested donation, too. And so if somebody's like, Nick, I got 10. And I say, well, you got Christmas music, mm-hmm. and that 10 is going to go to help somebody.
Right. It's 10 more than we had before right. the
10
conversation.
More than we had before. So, you know, I sit here and I do the math, and I know we talked about this last year, but I really have to bring up this point, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, $10 does not go very far. Right, we talk about inflation on here, you know,
volume,
and mm-hmm. so, but you know, if I sell maybe 5 of these things, now I've got $50 or $100, right, depending what I'm selling it for. So, how much money do you actually raise, right?
Yeah, going into this is the 7th year. Going into the year, we have raised over $214,000.
Wow!
In the last 6 years, mm-hmm. and this year. We're pushing. I can see it. I'm hoping my goal is that we're going to hit that 250,000 this
mm-hmm.
year.
Smell it? I smell 250.
Well, I mean, 250.
I smell it.
That's that weight I lost.
Yeah, we're going to make it.
I think we will, you know, because I think there's not only the option to buy the album or to buy a ticket to come to the concert, there's the option for people to just give and to donate to mm-hmm. the project in support mm-hmm. of it. And right. so it's been really cool to watch people say, I want to be a part of that. And so whether it's the musician, whether it's the consumer, whether it's somebody attending the concert, whether it's a business, whether it's other folks and other organizations, the Central Pennsylvania Music Hall of Fame that wants to be a part of it. Ollie's Bargain Outlet is this year's Rudolph sponsor. Shout out Ollie's. Where good stuff cheap.
I'm going there right after here.
Perfect. Perfect. Right. Tell them thank you.
I'm going to get some good stuff cheap.
People, good. People want to be engaged and be a part of this, and it's such a cool thing to see.
Yeah.
And it needs to be said at this point, that you don't need to pay $20 for a CD for a download. You can pay $500 for a download, and you'll still get that download.
Thank you very much.
We will not stop you from paying $500 for a download.
Yeah, and because it's about a donation.
Ollie's was brought up. We have some incredible sponsors,
mm-hmm.
you know, year after year that are really ponying up some great money for this.
Mm-hmm.
So that really does keep the thing really going. So people, it's way beyond just CDs and downloads. It's a whole big movement.
Right. It's about a community mm-hmm. that is pulling together, and music just happens to be the way that the community is pulling together to make that happen.
Every penny adds to the momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a beautiful thing. I mean, more than any other season, Christmas has its own soundtrack,
mm-hmm.
right? The
mm-hmm.
the Christmas season has its own soundtrack, and for many of us, you know, that Christmas soundtrack starts playing way too early. But the reality of it is, people love Christmas music, mm-hmm. and so the Joy to the Burg has become a season, a series of events. You know, we mentioned earlier the joyride, all kinds of different things that go into the project.
That's right. I really wanted to. I think last year I was telling people, and I lobby every year to do Christmas in July. And people are always.
You can put that down as a note, because I thought we talked about
it. And people are always like, yeah, go ahead and do it. You know, and you know what happens? Like, invariably, July rolls around, and I pull out the Christmas music. And everybody around me is like, it's July. What do you want to do this in July?
Don't be around them.
don't be around them. Put it in your earpods. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. So there's so much good stuff happening. And we're, you know, we're going to be talking more about what happens this year.
Moving forward in
26 when we come back from our break, which will be in about 10 seconds, right? Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
And I'm Eric Terrio.
And today we're talking with Nick Mucci, Greg Platzer, and Joe Trozak, and we were talking about Joy to the Burg, and I think there's a website. Isn't there?
There is. JoyToTheBurg.com.
That was hard.
That's very easy. Very
I don't know
easy.
If I'd remember
but
that.
It's
right?
B-U-R-G.
B-U-R-G.
Not yes. B-E-R-G.
Right.
And it's not B-U-R-G-H like Pittsburgh.
Right.
It's like Harrisburg.
B-U-R-G. B-U-R-G.
Yeah, we're not
joytotheberg.com.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's okay. Joytotheberg.com. We're trying to keep Greg, you know, corralled here. And Nick had a lot of things that he wanted to cover in this segment, and he's in
so
the
much.
Process of forgetting them
so
all.
So much, every one of them.
That's right. But we've talked about the history of Joy to the Berg, the problem of homelessness. What are we doing this year?
Man, this year is going to be so much fun. I was just sharing that we are close to a month's worth of activities for Joy to the Berg. Starting on November 19th, we're having an album release party. And so this is for the artists, right? We're bringing all the artists together and celebrating the release of the album. And so we're very excited for that. But just a few days later, Joy to the Berg, like we have for the last few years, is going to have a float in the Harrisburg Holiday Parade. And I don't know if you've been to the Harrisburg Holiday Parade. Whenever I go, I've got my youngest daughter off to the side and she's watching. And I finish the parade and she walks up to me with a bag full of candy. It's almost like an extended trick-or-treating because of how much stuff is given away by those
right.
in the
where
parade.
That goes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so
that's where that goes.
We approached the city and said, hey, I know that people in the parade, as they're walking, they're often giving things out. What if we challenged folks coming to the parade to bring something to donate to the shelters here in Harrisburg? And so the Joy to the Berg float is also going to have a trailer.
That's a great idea.
Ollie's, our Rudolph sponsor, Ollie's Bargain Outlet.
Yay,
you buy good
cheap.
Stuff cheap. They're sending a bunch of folks who are going to be there to collect these donation items that are going to be shared, not just amongst our shelters, but other shelters in the city.
Okay.
So we'll collect that at the Harrisburg Holiday Parade. And about 10 days later is the Giving Tuesday Joyride. Where Greg experiences the joy and I experience my heated seat in the car behind him.
Now, you need to point out, you can't just drop that without saying that we are on motorcycles.
Yes, no, they are on motorcycles. Greg
we
and
are
others,
on motorcycles.
A little perspective
you are in
there.
A warm car listening to the Joy to the Berg CD.
Y'all ever seen Dumb and Dumber where like that cold gets across their face? That's Greg and the guys on their motorcycles.
We are sacrificing because what we're doing is we are desperately uncomfortable. But only for a day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Whereas mm-hmm. the people we're trying to help, they're desperately uncomfortable every day. So
yeah.
we can suffer a little bit to kind of show you that people are willing to do something about this. And it's fun, but it's cold. I mean,
it is cold.
And Joe, where are you at? Like, are you watching this all from
when
a video?
When they're freezing,
camp?
They come to my place. I first offer the swimming pool.
Okay.
They don't go for it. But I have the wood stove cranked.
Right.
And coffee.
And hot coffee.
Oh, right. We
and
love
they,
Joe.
We just all huddle around the wood stove and they melt down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so most of that, you can follow these motorcycle adventures on our social media, on Facebook, Joy to the Berg. And so, again, it's a way, like Greg said, there are people who are uncomfortable year-round. And so for one day, these guys are going out to just raise awareness, to draw people into what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this year, we're going to have artists who are at the Pennsylvania Christmas and Gift Show mm-hmm. at the Farm Show the first week of December. The next week will be the Joy to the Berg Christmas Special on Good Day PA. That's December 11th. And then on Saturday, we'll have artists performing at the Chris Kindle Mart up in Linglestown, with everything culminating in the concert on December 14th at the Abbey Bar on Cameron Street. We are excited to bring Joy to the Berg back to the Berg and have it at the Abbey Bar. And so that'll be December 14th.
Right. Now, will this is this whole schedule on the website?
It should be.
It will be.
If it's not all there right now, it will be, yes.
Joytotheberg.com.
Joytotheberg.com. Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you go out to joytotheberg.com and the schedule isn't there, first of all, what's your email?
Yeah, you
address?
Can email Greg Platzer Guitars at
gmail.com.
Blow up his email.
Yeah,
to say,
hey, you know
this...
what? If you want to contribute, I'm more than willing to listen to you. Greg Platzer Guitars at gmail.com. I will help you.
Okay, I thought we were going to blow up Nick's email.
Nick's email is nmucci. My email is nmucci@ccuhbg.org.
M-U-C-C-I, for those of you that don't know how to spell his name.
Mucci like Gucci. Mucci like Gucci.
So if the schedule Gucci. Isn't up, just shoot out an email. But check back.
Check back.
Right.
But also, if you want to be a part, if you want to get involved, whether that's within Joy to the Berg or even year-round, hit me up and we'd love to connect you.
Mm-hmm. Like playing a soundtrack
for the show, right?
Absolutely.
That sounds like Waylon and Willie or something like that.
And also, this is the first that it's being publicly said, but this year is, I had a band called Grumpy Old Men for 25 years, mm-hmm. and we broke up in 2021, but for this year's concert, we will be doing a one-off reunion show, and we are really looking forward to that.
Oh, very cool.
So, for what it's worth, we're going to have a darn fine time.
Yeah. So if you happen to know Grumpy and you want to see them for that one-off
reunion,
then make plans to be there, mm-hmm. to be there on that show time, show date, right?
Yep.
Okay, so we've got a lot of stuff going on. Talk to people about, again, they can buy CDs, mm-hmm. they can buy downloads, they can come out and watch the parade in Harrisburg. They can go to any of these other events. Anything else? Joe, I know your church is tremendously supportive, right?
We have, we're definitely supportive for Joy to the Berg, and we also have Off the Streets, which is kind of Joy to the Berg. They're really just getting the people initially fed. What are we going to do? Off the Streets mm-hmm. sets up apartments and everything
right.
like that. And this year, it was neat. Can I talk about the piece of music you asked
me
to
work on?
Yeah, let's do
that. So, absolutely.
So Nick says, we want to take the reading that Linus did in the Charlie Brown Christmas special. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we had Pastor Leah Payne.
Yep.
She came in and just sat in front of the microphone. She did three cuts of it. The middle one was like perfect.
Yeah.
So I sat there and I knew how I wanted it to end. We made a nice short and I did an orchestration mm-hmm. that really kind of supports the fear of the shepherds, the angels coming. And we put this together and so it's going to be the open.
Right.
And it really sets, this is the real meaning of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit worked at every portion of this.
Mm-hmm.
I brought JT in. What do you think, JT? Oh, move that chord towards, she says, Christ. And then it just all came together, and we were so happy with the final result.
Yeah.
But it's always important with all the different styles of music. I want to make sure we're coming through with the real meaning of Christmas, and the opening's got
right.
it this year.
Right. Yeah. So that's great. So you guys are involved like that. But, I mean, even what you're doing, like, with Off the Streets takes that one step further, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people can really kind of get this out into their churches.
Absolutely. I mean, I think whether it's getting information about Joy to the Berg and what the work that's being done through Joy to the Berg, but also seeing the churches get involved year-round.
Right.
And there are many churches that, whether they help sell the album at their church or they're telling people to come to the concert, you know, for that month in December around the holiday season. But there are churches in our city like Joe's Church and others that all year they're volunteering at the shelters. All year they're collecting items that the shelters need and that individuals need. They're helping move people in. I just got a text message before I got here that a member of a church in Mechanicsburg has been in helping at our shelter, putting new items in and hanging things up on the wall and putting a new floor down. Like, there are so many different churches that are part of this work throughout the year, not just through Christmas. And so it's such a cool, Joy to the Berg provides kind of that launching point, that entry point mm-hmm. into the fullness of the work where mm-hmm. we are providing shelter, we are providing respite at night, but we're helping people get housed, we're helping them thrive. When you live on the streets, you have no choice but to survive.
Right.
And those who are on the streets, they develop these skills out of necessity that help them survive. And one of the things that I love watching is I love watching our staff, like Pastor Leah Payne, like Denise over at Safe Haven at the men's shelter. I love watching them help take those survival skills
mm-hmm.
and watch them transform them into thriving skills
yeah,
to
absolutely.
Where individuals are able to thrive and not find themselves back on the street.
Yeah, I really wanted to ask, and we probably have about a minute and a half or so to cover this, but where, you know, concrete.
Mm-hmm.
People that are helped through a homeless stage of life,
yeah.
right? Like you said, I mean, they move on to do amazing things mm-hmm. with their lives too.
No
so,
question.
So we literally are helping. We're a stepping stone, right?
Well, and I'll talk real quickly about one guy specifically, Lester. Lester, I love you, buddy. Lester came to our organization through the Winter Shelter. The Winter Shelter is one of the projects that's supported by Joy to the Berg. And Lester came off the street, needed a warm place to stay. Lester eventually, about a month after staying at the shelter, moved in to Safe Haven. And so he came into Safe Haven to get the support that he needed to get off the street. Well, today, Lester is one of my coworkers. Wow. This past April, Lester moved out of Safe Haven, moved into his own apartment, and a week later, he started working at Safe Haven, providing support and encouragement to the other men that come in there that's saying, hey, look, I did this. I understand where you're at. I know where you're at. I've been where you're at. And here's where you can be, and here's where you're going to go. And it's so powerful. It's so cool.
Yeah.
And so, Lester, my guy, shout out to you and the work that you've done.
Let's hear it for Lester.
Yeah, let's hear it for Lester.
Proof that this works.
That's right.
But it won't work if people are not helping us, if they're not contributing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening to this, plan on buying the music.
JoyToTheBerg.com.
Buy the music. Make a donation. JoyToTheBerg.com.
Come to the show.
That's right. Now, let's say you're also listening to this, and, you know, a week or two down the road, you're like, what was that? Joy to the Berg? Joy to the Berg, I can't remember, but I can't remember. Well, you can come back to Holy Family Radio's website and listen to this story about Joy to the Berg.
Yes.
And get people involved like that. Pass the word. Well, I think we're about out of time.
That's right.
And thank you to Joy to the Berg.
Nick, thanks, Greg, guys. Joe, thank you guys so much. Really appreciate the discussion and looking forward to seeing where you're at next year.
Appreciate it.
Y'all been listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Cleaning Fairy is a supporter of Holy Family Radio. They are woman-owned and provide residential and commercial cleaning services in the Mechanicsburg area. They are professional cleaners who are bonded and insured. Their phone number is 717-802-5669. Their website is cleaningfairypa.com. Cleaning Fairy is a proud supporter of Holy Family Radio.